All right, here we go. National Hour on the Real Kipper and Bourne Show. We are live on Sportsnet, Sportsnet 650 in Vancouver, and Sportsnet 960 in Calgary. This hour, Real Kipper and Bourne, brought to you by Bet365. As promised, star of Hockey Night in Canada, Kevin Bieksa, joins us now. Former National Hockey Leaguer, 808 games. You know, I've always wanted to ask you this. How do you keep a straight face looking at Elliot's crooked tie every night?
I can't offend his wardrobe because it goes right back to Deb Berman, who we all know. So while I love
the outfits are great, it's the tie. You know how many people on the streets say, "Can you get him to just put it
snug it up,
snug it up a little bit?"
So a little backstory about Elliot: when we get changed before every show, it's just a battle to get him in the makeup room, to get him with the hairstylist. And there's some days where he just puts his foot down. He's like, "No, I'm fine like this." And then it's funny who nobody wants to be the bad guy. So everybody starts kind of asking the next person, "Oh, can you ask him? Oh, can you ask him?" And then if I really can tell that they want him to do it, then I'll be the bad guy. I'll be like, "Hey, go get your makeup and your hair done.
Go do that."
But you know what it's like. You've worked with him. Sometimes he's just, "No, au naturel Elliot tonight."
And maybe that's why we love him.
Yes,
part of the allure.
As far as tonight goes, it's been a busy first round so far for sure. Is it kind of nice knowing that you only have to focus on one game tonight? And that, of course, is Toronto and Boston.
Yeah, that's what I like about the playoffs is even when we do have a doubleheader, we are just focusing on the one game. We can give it our full attention. And there's times during the regular season where you have Montreal, Ottawa, and Toronto playing the 7 o'clock game. So you're trying to watch all three at the same time. And then oftentimes you neglect one or two markets, and then you hear about it from Montreal and Ottawa. "Oh, they hate us. They don't like..." Well, no, we're focusing on the team that's probably a little bit closer to the playoff race. So one game is awesome. You get to watch everything. I love watching like things like the warm-up and the camera angles on the benches in between, and you can really pick up a lot there. And
we're going to get into
a lot going on.
A ton. And we're going to get into it coast-to-coast, of course, Vancouver, the Preds. Edmonton just knocking off L.A., so we're going to get into a ton of that. But help us tee up tonight's game a little bit for you, and just in terms of the glimmer of hope for Leaf fans here, and is it legit?
Yeah, it's legit for sure, because I think because Boston went through this last year in the first round where they were up 3-1 against Florida, and then they watched it slowly fall away. And I thought last game Boston looked a little bit nervous and tentative, and the Boston fan base tended to disagree with me. But I saw what I saw, and I saw a team that wasn't quite sharp, feeling, you know, "Oh my God, is this going to happen again? Is this going to slip away again?" So every good period that Toronto has, it just brings more doubt into the minds of Boston. Now, Toronto hasn't played well on home ice. No. I'm sure you guys have talked about that at all. So, and I know I've talked about the last few days how the Leafs kind of get away from their style of play in the playoffs, and they become a more north-south dump and chase when really they should be trying to skate the puck through the neutral zone. I think, like, the easiest games for me in the playoffs were on the road, where there's no expectation and you go in as the underdog and you don't have to put on a show and you don't have to play with the lead. You just have to play a good, tight road game and survive. Now, to take advantage of your home ice, though, other than scoring a goal, what's the one thing that's going to get the crowd?
Yeah, run into people. Rattle the glass.
Body contact. Yeah. So I think, and San Jose had a rule the years that they were always a perennial contender with Joe Thornton and Marlowe. In the first period, and I actually stole this from my team, first period, if it's not an on-man rush, the puck goes in deep, and the first guy finishes his hit, second guy finishes his hit. And you just get used to defensemen going back for pucks. So might not be a bad strategy for the Leafs, even though they're not quite built for the dump and chase game.
Yeah.
Just because they haven't played very well in home ice and they've looked nervous with the puck at time. Remember game one?
Yeah.
And they were just bobbling the puck around and everything. Just take that out of the equation. Put the puck in deep and just go finish your checks. Get the crowd into it. Get the people out on the streets into it. Mm-hmm. And then the game can kind of unfold from there.
Yeah. Which the Reeves did earlier in the series, but got caught on a 2-on-1, you know, unfortunately.
A little over aggressive. So I was hoping you could take us behind the scenes a little bit from the player's perspective with this Matthews injury and before that the Nylander injury. How much would the other players be aware of what's going on with those players? How much of it is a need-to-know basis? And how distracting would it be for a team being like, do we have Willie? Do we have Maddie? What sort of situation are we in here?
Usually when a player is not going to be playing and in the lineup, you kind of forget about them and you focus on, okay, what are the lines? Who's playing? Who's in the power play? But those are two major pieces of this team. You're talking about a big, big chunk of the team and the salary cap. So they haven't had both those guys together in a game. That's tough. Like, I don't like blaming injuries for losses, but you start the series without William Nylander, who's your best playoff player last year. And then he comes back, and his first game, he didn't look quite normal. He's getting better. And then you lose Matthews, who's arguably the best offensive player in the NHL right now, not named Connor McDavid. So you sympathize a little bit, but, you know, no one's going to feel sorry for you. Boston's not. But it definitely, in that room, it affects your team, much like when a Demko goes down and he's your clear-cut number one and you're thinking about, you know, all the great things you're going to do in the playoffs. We're going to get to the second round, third round. And then your number one player goes down. You're like, oh, my God. So I'd be lying to say, oh, yeah, it's business as usual. Bill Belichick, next man up.
Yeah.
That's not the case. You're like, oh, crap.
This sucks.
Oh, crap, this sucks. And now, like, we're going to have to play out of our minds.
Yeah. Most teammates know what they're dealing with. Would you agree with
that? Which is why it's crazy there's no leaks. You would think,
They know what Matthews has. Yeah. For sure, because he's not isolated. So it's not an illness. If he was isolated, it'd be an illness. It's not, for me, and we're speculating, it's not concussion stuff because he wouldn't be skating.
Really?
I don't think he'd be testing it every day for 8 minutes. You know the protocol for a concussion.
I do.
You have a concussion. When you're symptom free, and I know they're trying to expedite it, when you're symptom free, you get a 15-minute bike ride. Then you go home, you sleep. If you come back without symptoms, you can do a 20-minute one and a workout. And then you can get the third day, you can get on the ice.
I appreciate all of that, but I also appreciate that this is the playoffs, and sometimes you'll take advice from the doctors, and sometimes they'll shoo them away.
The system a little bit.
You watch the spotters. That guy gets to stay. You're pulling that guy off. What is going on here? There is no protocol, to be
honest
with you.
Clearly, I played with concussions, so that's why I don't think it's a concussion, because I think you can play through a concussion. And I'm not advocating for that.
No,
listen, I'm talking about the NHL, the highest level of billion-dollar business. I'm not talking about minor hockey. But if you had a concussion, if I played through a lot of concussions, and who's going to tell me that I'm not going on the ice? I can manipulate what I say to the trainer and the doctors. So that's why I don't think it's that.
Concussion or migraines, big difference, right?
Yeah. I think it's something, and again, speculating. This is not my area of expertise.
You know what show you're on? it's the Real Speculation and Born Show. That's what it's called.
Okay. I think it's lower body. I think it's something that's preventing them from skating.
So someone whispered ankle to me on a couple of occasions.
That would make sense to me. Like, and that's why he's constantly trying to test it.
He didn't look that bad on the video I watched today.
Yeah.
And can you give me 10 minutes? Can you give me something on the power play? Because 50% of you is better than 100% of me.
So I had a game, Dallas, my first playoff series was against Dallas. First game of the series, we go to quadruple overtime. My first ever playoff game. I play 56 minutes of ice time. And I'm a meathead, right? I'm running around trying to hit everybody.
Yeah.
So we win that game, and I remember Medano skating around. So, like, can someone just win this game? Like, who cares? It's game one. Well, fast forward, we end up going to game seven, right? But in game six, I tear three muscles in my abdominal. Just shooting a routine puck out on a penalty kill, guy puts a stick in, and I really feel it's because of that first game. I just was overtired, and my body never recovered. So for game seven, we go home, and I have three tears in my abdominal, MRI and everything. I can barely move my core. I can't shoot the puck. But I'm playing, and Alain Vigneault brings me into his office, and he says, if you're starting the game, you better finish it. Otherwise, we can't afford to play five defensemen the whole game, so I'm going to put in Rory Fitzpatrick if you're not. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to take warm-up, and I'll let you know. Eight injections to freeze my whole core, which helps nothing, right? Because they're so I'm on the ice, and I'm just flicking pucks with my wrists, and I go on, and in my head, I'm like, oh my God, how am I going to survive this whole game?
Yeah.
But you know what? I made a selfish decision because I thought, like you said, I thought 25% of me is going to help our team win over maybe this,
and
it's no disrespect to the guys that were coming, but I thought I made a call, and it ended up, and then Sammy Salo gets hurt first period, so now we're at 5D. So it ended up warming up a bit, and I was survived.
Yeah.
But Matthews can make that call. That's why I really think it's something that he's not able to do. But if it's power play, I'd love to have him just sit on the half wall and wire biscuits.
It is funny because we've been kind of debating, particularly when it was illness. Like I was saying, there's basically no illness where hockey players will look at it and go, sometimes you're just sick. Like, you got to play.
Yeah.
You know, they had enough days off. So curious to see because, there's injections. There's all sorts of.
I know the pendulum swung in my era to today and even yours a little bit. But there is something about our game where if you're not showing up at the most critical time, whether or not it's legit or not, we'll judge the hell out of you, right? Mm. You're not there. You're soft. You can't be counted on. Like, that stuff still happens today. It happens with us here. It happens with the fans. And it happens with teammates as well. That stuff still goes on.
Well, it's the best part of hockey. Being a hockey player is watching how tough they are and how resilient. And it's the only sport.
Not everybody, Kevin.
But the majority of players. I think Matthews is tough. I think if he could play, he could play.
I'm just saying in general with the way we treat our athletes, like we like to beat them up if they're not there doing what they're supposed to do when we want them to, right?
Yeah. And it's funny because around society, a lot of other people aren't doing the same, yet we judge a hockey player if they're not playing because they have migraines, right? Like,
and I would say culturally it's changed a lot. Like in the regular season,
not that much.
I think during the regular season, the standard has changed a lot.
The Leaf fans proved it hasn't changed that much.
Well, to me, though, Kip, that's been a matter of uncertainty, of not knowing what it is. And if he has the sniffles, people judging him. I do think that once people hear he's got a torn groin or a
Let's reserve judgment until we know exactly what we're dealing with. And then I really thought Brendan Dillon should have played, even though his hand was sliced in half. And, you know, and Nemestikov, even though his face was caved in, you know.
Your opinion changes, I'm joking, but you never know.
If you can, like we've got this perception of Bobby Bonds out there breaking their leg and still playing, right? I mean, that's still the measuring stick for a lot of people.
That's tough to live up to.
It is.
That's really
tough. For sure.
And it's uncomfortable playing injured, and not everybody can do it well.
Yeah.
All right, let's switch gears a little bit, go to Vancouver, somewhere you're familiar with, and what do you see overall there, including Petey and, you know, the people, the expectations, the new contract, and is he uncomfortable right now?
Yeah, I mean, a little bit. Maybe trying to do a little bit too much. And Vancouver... they won their division, and I tried to caution people back in January. We were in Hockey Day in Victoria, and everybody's asking me. I'm walking around the hotel in the streets in Vancouver and Victoria. I was there for about a week. They're like, are the Canucks going to win the Cup? I'm like, pump the brakes, all right? Like, they weren't even supposed to make the playoffs. Yeah. Like, they won. They're going to probably win their division. Like, just pump the brakes and get through the first round. It's hard to win rounds in the NHL. They haven't won a round, a real round, you know, since 2011. So... pump the brakes. It's hard to get out, and it's hard to be a productive player, I think, in the playoffs, too, and Petey's finding that. The game's different. And
time and space, gone.
Yeah, there's so many guys during the season that wouldn't finish their hit on Petey because they're more worried about getting caught or angling, but in the game plan, I'm guarantee you Andrew Brunette is saying, every time Quinn Hughes and Pettersson touch the puck, I don't care who you are, I don't care if you're out of position.
How late it is.
You finish. So it's a lot harder to hold on to the puck and make plays. And his game is holding on to the puck, being shifty, juking guys, skating it through the middle. And he's not able to do that, and neither is Quinn. So Quinn's finding a way to be effective still. He's still pushing through it. He knows he can't go back for the puck and break it out and skate through everybody because two guys are going to hit him. So he's moving it quick, and he's joining, and he's creating his offense from the blue line. So Petey's got to find a way. I like when he does the reverse hit, the cold shoulder.
Yeah.
I think that gives him just a little bit. And be a hunter. Go out and hunt early and hit guys. And then I feel like that'll create more space, much like our Jerome McGinley used to do.
Yeah. You know, one of the guys who feels like a little bit more tailor-made for playoff hockey, JT Miller, he's just this, got like that mentality that sort of, I don't know, he looks like he thrives in this. Do you see today him wearing the Shelov's dress shirt on the ice? I mean, you lose a game, you're going back home, pressure starts to mount. I mean, that sort of thing, it plays well with the team, does it not?
It's awesome. Yeah. I think it's awesome, and it loosens everybody up a little bit, I think. Like,
see, I'm sorry. I'm
you
going
don't like
again.
It?
No. I reserve judgment to see after the game, okay? Because I think you're taking a little bit of a chance here. I agree. It could be the right tone. It could be loose enough to win, but it could also be loose enough to lose.
So the reason I think he did it, I think he's not a guy that jokes around like that. We rarely see him like that. I think he has a pulse. I think he feels their nerves.
Yeah.
I think he feels that. Yeah.
And I hope
that's
going to
loosen it up
because he'll be a hero forever.
Oh yeah, but fans will be wearing that exact shirt in the next round.
If they have a poor showing, there's going to be some that say, "Okay, you didn't take it that seriously." And no,
not him. Maybe if it was Pettersson.
Okay.
But not JT. But you know what the bigger problem is? Their power play. Yeah. And if you look at special teams, they've never been more deciding of a playoff series than this season. You look at the power play, four of the top five power play are already punched their ticket through, and the other one's Boston, who has been up 3-1, 3-2.
Yeah.
And then the same thing for penalty kill. The Canucks are the only team. I mean, they're leading their series, but they're high up. Their penalty kill's done really well. Yeah. But special teams has never been more important than this playoffs because 5-on-5, people are defending better.
Yeah.
And the shot, how many games have we seen shot totals at 15, 20?
Insane.
Like Edmonton.
The Oilers, yeah.
And Vancouver and even Toronto, the shot totals have been down. Everyone's defending well. So more of an onus on special teams. And the power plays that have struggled, those teams are gone, most of them already.
So you coach your boys' team, I believe, right?
Yes.
And so the power play has changed. The way that you run, almost everyone runs some sort of 1-3-1. But most teams have someone who can hit it at the top. And Morgan Rielly for the Leafs is not someone. And I don't think Quinn hits it a ton either, doesn't he?
He's more of a wrister if he does.
So how important, what do you prioritize in today's power play world? What is effective? And does it just depend what tools you have, I guess, what unique tools?
Yeah, so for me personally, you got to know your personnel.
Yeah.
So we have one kid on our team, our 17-year-old prep team, that can shoot a one-timer consistently, and it's heavy and it's dangerous.
Yeah.
And we have like one or two guys that can shoot it from the flank. So depending on, I like to have two competitive units with each other. So depending on what units they are, you got to have options. We have a couple guys that are really good on the goal line, attacking down low. So you got to kind of know what your options are, I think. I know what you're saying. To have a guy on the top and with a heavy, heavy shot keeps everybody honest, like Bouchard. Exactly.
But even like Hedman doesn't like rip it, but he can do it.
Do you see what McDavid does though? Like he'll attack a guy one-on-one on a penalty kill and just dance him. And now it's a 4-on-3.
Yeah.
So a lot of Bouchard's success is McDavid and Draisaitl. You know, like he's good, but there's not a lot of Edmonton fans that watch this thing. I just say be careful with the Bouchard thing.
Okay.
He's got a good shot, but I think we all know who runs that power play.
Right.
So last night, elimination game that you guys covered, and I know it was a hot button topic in between periods, was the Kevin Fiala penalty.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And want to get your thoughts. And I know there's a history there, as Elliot, you know, articulated very well. But I don't care. That is a horrible call on that particular player calling that. I don't see
a dive.
I didn't like the dive call on it. I thought it should have been a 5-on-3. And I get the history, but that's a penalty. Mm. There's no way a guy dives like that in a scoring opportunity going towards the net. And I just thought, man, that's a penalty. That's a referee call that won't get you a conference final. That's what I thought last night.
Yeah, I don't know about that, but first of all, the first thing I noticed, there's no people in here at all, right? It's just you guys in camera. Yeah. It's like AI running the show.
Sometimes we forget we're on
no
the air.
No producers or anything, no camera guys. Like, it's just us in this room.
Nothing.
Chris Stewart and
we got you.
Me.
We got a great picture of you.
Angry
and we can't even tell the camera guy to show it.
Yeah.
The thing about the Fiala embellishment, it's not a dive, it's embellishment.
Okay.
So he's not diving. When the stick is in your hands and you fall, that's the one thing that makes me think it's a bit of embellishment.
Yeah.
The stick is in your hands.
Well, then he's nuts.
And then you just fall forward. I don't know.
He had a scoring opportunity.
He has a history of embellishment. And I know a few officials that said he's on the radar. Whatever that means,
he's on
the radar. And there's a couple other guys. I love Victor Arvidsson. He's on the radar too, though. He goes down a little bit easy.
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot. You know the guys, Bunting goes down easy.
Oh, yeah.
This is the time of year where you love a call.
I'm sure you could still name the guys that you played against that went down easy.
For sure.
Like, you never forget those guys.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah. I love drawing penalties.
Vern Fiddler went down easy. Adam Burrish. Like, those kind of guys, right?
It's a performance.
And you weren't even on the power play. Think about the guys that are on the power play. They're like, I want it. Like Burrows.
Yeah.
Burrows would flail everywhere because he knew he was going on the ice for a tap-in. Right?
That's pretty savvy right there. So looking around the rest of the series, has your perspective changed on potential Cup faves, Colorado Avalanche taking care of Winnipeg. Do you feel differently about Colorado after their success, or Carolina and New York? Has anything changed your mind so far about a team?
I think the East is right what we thought it would be. Yeah. We thought it'd be Carolina and New York, as it should be, and then we thought it'd be Boston or Toronto and Florida. So it's the top four. It'll be the top four in the East. So I like that. And then let's see who it is. I don't know. Like, I still like Carolina. I've always liked Carolina. Maybe I'm partial to them because my son's his team, and he watches every game, and I watch a few more than probably most people watch the Carolina Hurricanes. But I've also always liked the Rangers. I know you're just like, oh, okay, they won the President's Trophy. I liked the Rangers 2 months ago. Mm-hmm. I just like their makeup. I like their
Rangers fan.
No, I'm not a hipster Rangers fan. I like their D. I like Miller and Trouba and obviously Fox and Braden Schneider, Lindgren. Like, I just love their defense. Yeah. And if Shesterkin can play like Shesterkin, they're a tough team to beat. And then in the West, I mean, collision course is Colorado and Edmonton. That's the collision course. That's what I think we deserve to see.
We do.
And then from there, who knows? You got New York Rangers and maybe Florida, and then you got Colorado and Edmonton, and it's still pretty open. You can't tell me you're going to Vegas with a for sure bet right now.
No.
On who's going to win or who's even going to be in the Cup.
Yeah.
It's still pretty out there. I think we got rid of all the stragglers, like the Washingtons and the Islanders, the teams that we didn't really take serious.
Yeah.
And then, you know, hopefully, like, once Nashville goes away, like, we have the teams who we thought would be here.
Were you surprised Colorado slicing through Winnipeg like a hot knife through butter?
I wasn't.
No,
I honestly wasn't.
And is it because of just elite players like Makar McKinnon? That's the difference for you?
And when everyone was saying, oh, well, they dominated the regular season and they won that game towards the end of the year, like, ask Elliot. I was like, no, I don't think so, man. I think Colorado, when it's time to play, they're just so elite. And if they can just play 80% of their potential, and I love the Jets, I love their team, I just think Colorado's at another level. Like I think Edmonton's at another level than everybody else in their division right now.
Funny watching Dallas, though, right? Like, maybe the team with the least game-breaker, per se, superstar, yet some nights you're not sure who's the first, second, or third line. And that Wyatt Johnson, what a player.
But is that good? Like, in the playoffs, in the final minute when you need one, to not know who's the guys?
I don't know. The best thing ever for Jamie Benn and Seguin was Wyatt Johnson and Stankoven.
Yeah.
I think. Those two young guys, and even Pavelski, right? They live with Pavelski, I guess.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. I think they both live with Pavelski. But just put, like, those guys bringing in an injection of fun and, you know, swagger and all that. Because it was a stale group for a little bit.
So I
don't know. That's the one team I just don't know. I just don't know about Dallas because Ottinger's been so average all year, and he's an amazing goalie, but he's been average all year long.
But he can be great. So do you find that the playoffs taper off in terms of physicality? I know that sounds crazy as you get towards the Stanley Cup, but it feels like coming out of the gates, round one, everyone bangs into each other. But by the end of a series, and I am thinking about the Leaf series with like Ryan Reeves, it's almost like he becomes less relevant. And actually, last year they dressed Simmons and Clifford to start the series, and by the end, not so much. So over the course of a series and then the whole playoffs, is there an evolution in physicality?
Yeah, and I think it's like you said, series, every series individually. Yeah. You want to start off the series because you think about it, it's like banking contact. Mm-hmm. So, you know, Yossi goes back and he gets hit, and Quinn Hughes gets hit and he gets hit. And then eventually when the games become more important, you're putting guys that are a little bit better on the wall in their zone that are going to make sure they get the puck out. You start to prioritize that, maybe the defensive play, over the guy who's bigger, heavier in the physicality. But that being said, I've liked the Leafs fourth line.
Yeah.
And I think you do keep them intact because it's not very physical amongst the rest of the forward group. So I think you need that. I like Dewar a lot, and Reeves has played well. Like, yeah, he goes out of position and throws that hit in the one game in Boston, but it's a miscommunication with the defenseman, and everyone's running around at that point, and guys weren't refiring quick enough. I don't think that's enough reason to take him out of the lineup.
It's also a war of attrition, too, and the ability to just stay with it. Mm-hmm. JB, and to your point, when you start the first round, there's such an emphasis on it. Yeah. Like, it's like you've just had your meetings, your countless meetings, your video meetings, and it is a top priority. As you go 4 weeks, 6 weeks, 7 weeks, guys fade off.
Yeah.
And it's really the ones who have probably made it more of a habit over 82 games that are able
to stick with it
and sustain it. And that's where the Florida Panthers, to me, is that how many games did we watch during the regular season where you're like, well, I could look like a first round.
That's how they play.
That's how they play.
Right.
And they've got a better chance to sustain it than, say, the Toronto Maple Leafs, where it was Some nights it was there, some nights it wasn't, and you're in and out. But to me, the Florida Panthers, over 82 games, were the most prepped team for the Stanley Cup playoffs this year.
I think the Florida Panthers, when you watch them, they have the main thing that stands out to me is they have pushback. Mm-hmm. So when there's a bad shift or a goal against, it's not just one line they can put out. They can put out four lines, and there's immediate pushback from the drop of the puck, whether it's Sam Bennett or my buddy Cousins or, Tkachuk, obviously. The whole lineup has pushback, and they're team tough. I don't really look at anybody on that team and say, wow, that guy's really tough. Like, Lomberg's not that tough. He's not that big.
But he's willing.
But he's willing, and he's gritty, and their whole team is gritty. And you know the Finns, like Lundell and Listerine, and Finns. Finns are gritty. They're not backing down. They're not going to beat you up in a fight, but they're not backing down an inch. They'll cross-check you right in the chest. They'll, you know, and every scrum with Florida is everybody's in, and they have skill.
You got to get in first, though. Right? It's not necessarily who's the toughest guy, but who hits first and who makes the other team respond. And it's that old saying, initiate, don't retaliate. Mm-hmm. Like, that's being beaten to death in every dressing room, on every bench, in every second. Florida's the team that gets in first on you. They're not reactionary. They're the ones that are starting it, and they make you chase them.
Yeah.
And then they make plays when they get the puck. That's the hard thing. It's hard to program your head. Okay, I'm going to run around and be physical. But then when I get the puck, I'm going to be poised.
Yeah.
It's two different parts of your brain, right? You're like aggression, 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 and you're like poised.
Yeah.
And then aggression, poised. It's tough to like go back and forth, but the best teams are able to do that because it's a part of who they are.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. You good?
We're good. We need Sammy.
Great stuff, Kevin. Okay. Thanks for joining us,
Appreciate it, man.
Terrific work. Love listening to you and bringing me back into the modern age. Sometimes I get into those dinosaur years. So appreciate all you do.
I'll make sure Elliot looks good tonight. Presentable.
Yeah. All right, Kevin BX, a Hockey Night in Canada. Make sure you're watching 8 p.m. tonight. Toronto Maple Leafs, Boston Bruins. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll welcome in Sammy, and we'll get into some game time. And then after the break, the coaching carousel continues. We'll give you a bit of an update on what we think might be happening. More Real Kipper and Bourne after the break.
Breaking down the top stories in the NHL every day. The Jeff Merrick Show. Subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Nick Kiprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee. Plenty to get into still. We mentioned that coaching carousel. We'll get into that. Listen to maybe Connor McDavid.
Yeah.
Zadorov talking about JT Miller's
fashion show
today. Mm-hmm. But first, it's game time with Sammy.
It's game time, presented by Bet365. Visit the app for latest odds and find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19 plus. Ontario only. Please play responsibly. And I do feel kind of a little guilty being back in here after having BX in here. That was just awesome.
It was great.
And now I'm sitting here like, why the hell am I here? Should have got him to do game time.
We've been getting some great guests lately.
Yeah, he texted you back. what was I doing? Oh yeah, Bet365. So there's one show in town tonight, and as I've been one to do here, I love the happiness hedge.
Yes,
but unfortunately, for all Leaf fans out there that want to bet on the Boston Bruins,
let me guess their number.
What do you think it is?
Bruins minus 105.
They are minus 125 tonight.
Really?
Yeah, the Leafs are plus money, plus 105. I mean, all the stats that go against it, you know, they've lost six in a row at home. They can't score at home. Their power play sucks at home. Like, they're obvious underdogs from a betting perspective.
Yeah.
Clear value there for sure, but it's not a great spot for the happiness hedge. If you want to kind of go for a player happiness hedge, you know, everybody hates Brad Marchand. If you want to bet on a Brad Marchand goal, maybe as your happiness hedge, you know, trying it out there. You're going to get a Brad Marchand goal anytime at plus 200. If you want to bet on him to get the first goal, which would really sting, it's 10-1. So there's a potential spot to maybe to get a little bit of value on a happiness hedge for against the Leafs.
All right.
So that's pretty much it for tonight. I could give you a Blue Jays line, but they're not playing tonight. But if you want to look ahead to tomorrow, bet under on the runs. That would be my advice. That was game time, presented by Bet365. Visit the app for latest odds and find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19 plus, Ontario only. Please play responsibly.
All right, before we go to a few Kippers Clippers around the league, love all the conspiracy theorists out there. And what's the latest on Austin Matthews? That I don't care who sent it, but you saw. You just showed me a video. What was the video of?
Well, people are taking a look at the Charlie McAvoy takedown of Austin Matthews. That was actually before the Trent Frederick goal, was it not?
Yeah.
It was sort of part of the sequence.
It was the most, like, I whined about that.
Right.
I don't whine about refs, and I whined about that one.
That was the pull down, right?
He leads the league, and I don't whine about the refs.
I don't whine about refs.
But yeah, I saw some doctor in the thread saying, looks like it's some stress on his MCL. I know you had said you'd hurt ankle, but it does look like that potentially could have been the moment. Mm. Could have been when he got in his car one day. I don't know.
Rather large moment in the series, if that's true.
But yes, that would be significant, and it does look a little awkward.
Yeah, I don't know. I saw him skate pretty good today, pretty well.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe he's really close.
I think, Kip, he's 100% fine. He just doesn't want to play it.
Yeah, I think he's like, that Kiprios is too mean.
Hey, you're not the only one.
He's like, that Kiprios is too damn mean. Yeah. I'm not going out there tonight.
I've had enough.
Okay. Can anyone stop the Edmonton Oilers on specialty teams?
No.
Because this is a big part of trying to win a Stanley Cup. And if they've got this thing down packed, then they're well on their way.
I wouldn't know anything about that. Special teams in the playoffs?
What are their numbers? They're 12?
They went 12 for 12. They went 100% on the PK. And they went 45. They're 45% on the power play. They went...
Wow.
Yeah, they were really good.
45.
I know McDavid, last I checked, had 8 power play points.
I think he had 12 assists.
No one on the Leafs going into game 6 has more than 3 points.
Yeah.
Let alone 8 power play points. So.
All right, crazy. Listen to the captain of the Edmonton Oilers.
And he was asked what he thought was more impressive, 45 or the 100%, and I'll give you one guess at his answer.
The penalty kill, not giving up a goal, that's real impressive. The job that those guys did, killing off, big ones along the way, I think of the penalty kill in game 4 in the third period, that's huge. I thought everybody on the kill was moving their feet and doing their job and, sacrificing their bodies, which is something that's not always the most fun thing to do. But, the kill not giving up one is a great thing.
Captain.
Yeah. Well, you
nothing
gotta
to do
it.
With me.
You so, have to say that.
I
mean, he's like, are you 45%?
Of course, it
was the power play.
I'm pretty good on the power play.
Are you watching our power play? Yeah. I'm unbelievable.
They literally cannot stop me. It'd be great if he just turned full heel.
I would love that.
Yeah.
I would love that.
And how huge is that they don't have to go back to L.A.?
It's huge. That's the type of thing that kind of catapults you onto a playoff run where, everyone else is going to battle it up and take more. You talked about attrition.
Yeah.
Take more injuries. We're going to rest up ours. And, boy, it's a big advantage while you're sitting there waiting for who's next.
It was going to hurt for Leaf fans when fan favorite Zach Hyman left Toronto.
It was always going to hurt.
There was no question it was always going to hurt.
But,
I didn't know it was going to be this bad. I didn't know it was going to be a broken fibula here. The pain is...
But listen.
Seven goals in five games.
There were some that thought Edmonton overpaid for Zach Hyman at five.
Not me. I think Kyle Dubas is probably one of those people.
Yeah, for sure.
Whoopsies.
7 goals.
And now, man, he'd like to be a UFA right now. He'd be
worth $11 million.
Well, no. He's not. He'll never get it. 11. And Sam Reinhart.
Mm.
He's Sam Reinhart.
No, he's not. He's so much more effective than Sam Reinhart minus the scoring.
I'm just talking the scoring.
Yeah, I know.
Okay, they're both, like, Sam Reinhart's not going to make $11 million next year.
No, he's going to play in Florida and play for the tax rebate state.
Eight and a half.
I don't want to do this, but I'm going to do it because I'm a little bit sour about where the Leafs are at. And I said I believed, and I do believe, but how many playoff goals does Zach Hyman have?
Seven.
In his career?
Yeah. Oh, I don't know.
26.
Is that right?
Would you like to know how many career playoff games the goals Austin Matthews has?
Half of that?
23.
Oh, yeah.
Sick.
Yeah.
Love that.
Love that stat. Oh, that's fun.
All right. You okay?
No, I gotta get... Hey,
can you get out of the puddle you're standing in right now?
I'm back at it.
Okay.
Sorry.
Good.
Sorry.
Did you listen to us talking about JT Miller's...
I did. And I heard that you didn't like it. I mean, this is a great
thing. I didn't say I didn't like it. Listen, I was that guy, and I'm not here to compare JT Miller status to mine my minuscule one I had with the Rangers. But on occasion, I try to do the same thing, keep the guys loose. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. My most famous one was Keenan loved walking through the practice facility. Crisp white shirt, you know, Italian jeans, the leather, alligator shoes, and a red scarf.
Really? Okay.
Yes.
What a fit.
I'm New York City.
One day he walks through practice while we're stretching and then passes, you know, the group, and I go grab a red sock and wrap it around my neck just like he did, and I walked right behind him, and he stopped and turned around, and I got busted. And I'm like,
Did you play the next game?
No, healthy scratch. healthy scratch.
I will say, this is one of the more legendary moves you can do. Like,
Do people know, have we told them about the background that She Loves wore just like a paisley salmon?
Yeah, it's an absurd shirt.
It's a loud shirt.
It's a horrible shirt.
Now, for me, on a game day in the Stanley Cup playoffs, I would have been scared to death to try anything like that today.
Well, it's not
this
game
guy's
day,
confident so.
Well,
as...
Yeah, I mean, going into tomorrow night, right? During a playoff series, I would have been nervous to try something like that.
Yeah. No, it's this kid is obviously very confident. He wore it there. And so at the start of this Canucks practice, Miller wore it over his gear. He wore the shirt as a jersey, as a practice jersey, which is hilarious.
And I've watched all the Canucks games. He's been dynamic. He's got 6 or 7 points already through the first 5 games that series. Like, I've loved his game. Yeah. And he's not that good. Like Bieksa was saying, he's not really that guy, so it carries a little bit more weight or whatever. But we got to hear Zadorov talk
love
about it.
Love to hear.
Yeah, okay, play the clip.
He's got to know better. He's not in... nightclub in the Riga, Latvia. So.
Not in the nightclub in Riga, Latvia. He's got to know better. That's great.
Oh,
I'm telling you, Canucks win the next game. People are going to be wearing that as a
some of the
jersey.
Stuff that guys would walk in and veteran, like young kids and veterans would look at it and go, get me the scissors.
Buddy, you guys actually cut up close.
Cut.
It's funny because like Matthews Marner, coming looking.
Hey, ball it up. And use like 4 rolls of tape around it.
Seen it thrown in the shower. That's hockey culture in a nutshell. How dare you express any individuality?
I mean, if I'm a Canucks fan, I love that my rookie Tendy is wearing that shirt to practice.
Yeah. Oh,
he's not showing up in like his little sweatshirt. Like he's like, I am the man.
Yeah, and then JT probably Miller. Thought he was going to be wearing that into Utica. He probably he didn't anticipate he was going to be starting for the Canucks in playoffs.
That's a great point
when he bought
you.
That shirt.
But I think. Like you said, if this is, you know, like the first question at every scrum in a super, you know, tense off day practice, everybody's like, what about the shirt? Yeah. What? Like, it just takes
a tough loss.
Just a little bit of weight. And if they win, bingo, bang.
It's a legendary move. They'll
Big
be talking. You win the series, they'll be talking about that for the next 20 years, right?
I'm dying for them to win. I want that Canucks Oilers series.
Oh,
bad.
Man, that would be
I want
really
that
fun.
Really bad.
Sportsnet
way
would probably like that
better
too.
Better than a Nashville.
Oh yeah, I mean
Nashville. Here comes Tommy Novak.
Give me the Canucks, baby. Pander.
Yeah, that would be fun. It would be a fun series.
Man City.
What do we got next, Sammy?
Did you want to talk about the hockey game last night with the slap in the face from Petrangelo?
Great slap. Like, I love Petrangelo.
Did you ever see those Instagram videos of the slap contest?
Oh,
my God.
Those people are out of their ever-loving minds. Yeah. The winner wins like $5,000.
And lifelong CP.
Yes.
And people are screaming, we got to get the head hits out of our game. Watch that thing.
Bang.
For like 30 seconds. You'll leave our game right alone.
Oh, yeah.
But the point is that kind of happened. It was just
it was a spinning back fist. It was exactly a slap contest.
But I mean, it was a 2-minute minor. You probably shouldn't have done it, and off you go.
They did it twice in that game, the 5-minute major review.
Which is great. Call it a major. Check it out.
It's because Sagan threw up an elbow at, I think it was Shea Theodore early in the first period.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, and then that was kind of retribution.
That was a 2-minute,
but too. So we can all love the retaliation or Petrangelo's wires cross. They take the penalty. They score in the power play. That's the winner.
Yeah.
And the first question to Bruce Cassidy right out of the on the press conference was about it. So if we want to hear his answer on it, we can go.
Let's do it.
Alex Pietrangelo's captain of the Cup team. He's a leader. He knows how to win. So it's two games now. He's taking a roughing penalty. It's led to a power play goal. Are you surprised, disappointed? What's the word?
Both. Veteran guys should know better. That, listen, we didn't like the hit on Theodore Bice again. Quite obvious, left his feet, targeted the head. So you're going to be upset, right? But that's playoff hockey. You got to find a way to channel it. And then, you know, there's controlled aggression out there all over the ice in every series. So that's an area you've got to take a number and, you know, try to get those things squared away lately. Listen, Dallas went through it last year, right? Ben got thrown out, if you remember. And so there's a little bit of a learning curve that goes into it. And we should know better, to go back to your question, but it happens. And we've got one more game, obviously, to get it squared away, because margins are too thin right now, especially their power play.
Yeah. I mean, everyone gives Pietrangelo all the required respect, but you can't, as a coach, be like, it's good, I liked it.
Well, live by the wire cross, die by the wire cross. These wires cross, and you just slap him in the face.
I don't remember him like this earlier in his career, and we can recall, you know, for sure the Edmonton Oilers.
Draisaitl slash,
and then this one. Like, when did his fuse get that short?
I think, you know what, that happened a little bit to me as I got older as a player. Like, I don't know, just maybe more confident that you
Wait
could handle
you're 57.
Yourself. It's just angry, like, all the time.
Oh, you start chasing people on the highway.
Yeah. I mean, you feel it though. He's like, I mean, something about getting older, potentially he's getting older. He feels the series slip away. Maybe he's not as quick as he, like, it's just,
I don't know if he, no, I don't think that.
I mean, I'll always remember Joe Thornton in that series they lost in the final, the one time they got to the final and they got beat by Sid, where he was just, I mean, Pietrangelo and Thornton at that point are very different points of their career, but I'm just kind of making a comparison. He was slower. It was frustrating. He's chasing everybody around. He's hacking everybody around. Mm. It's frustrating, I guess, to feel a step slow. He's looking for retribution. His wires crossed and he does something dumb, costs him the game. Sure, he feels worse than anybody about it, so away you go. But love Pietrangelo. Really do.
Yeah.
But that was a tough moment for him.
Yeah.
Okay, the Winnipeg Jets. Today they had clean out already.
Yeah, quick one.
No team party. See you later, guys.
Yeah, that's going to make a joke about a disco ball and a red light. But it's a crazy clip from Hellebuck. You guys want to hear it?
Yeah.
All right.
Okay, you say it's a crazy clip, and then you ask us, do we want to hear it?
What if we decline that?
Yes.
Let's play it.
Yeah, you know, you're probably not going to believe when I say I was playing the best hockey in my career. But that's truly how I was feeling. And not only was I playing some of my best hockey, but I was in that zone where you're not thinking, you're just playing. And that's what you seek after. That's a dangerous thing in sports. And to not be able to keep four goals off the board, it's heartbreaking. It really is heartbreaking. I mean, you got to give them some kudos for what they did. But and looking back, I don't know if I even saw half of the pucks go in the net. They did a great job, but for me to not be able to put my foot down on a single game is really heartbreaking, because it's not typically how I do things.
Whoa. So the Avs scored.
What did you get out of that?
I got that he put it on his team.
I was good, but you weren't?
Well, no.
I didn't see half the goals go in the net.
No, he said, I was playing some of the best hockey in my career. I didn't see half the pucks go in, which means they're back door. That's what I mean. Yeah, and he gave up 6-5-6-5-6 in terms of goals against. And he's basically saying, check any metric. They filled us in, and they did. Kip, he's not wrong, by the way. Nothing he said there is inaccurate.
Yeah.
And it's kind of, I'm happy he said it. But it definitely wasn't what we're used to in hockey, where you go, you just can't give up that many. And I just need to be better.
Yeah.
He said I was playing great, and they absolutely pumped us.
I think I'd prefer I need to be better.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, as a teammate, probably. I mean, they lost results, by three, lost by four, lost by four, lost by three.
Is results.
Lost by one.
You know, after watching, you know, we do our picks and whatever, and they're always stupid. It doesn't matter. Like, the predictions. But, you know, I got swept up in the Canada feeling. It's like, in retrospect, that was really stupid.
I think I've said that myself, too.
It was
like,
very
that's
stupid.
My one that I was like, bet against McKinnon McCarr.
Yeah, like they, I mean, we could be sitting here with them winning their second cup the way that they looked in that series. And the Jets are not terrible. They're a good hockey team.
Not terrible.
And they made them look silly. So
was Shovel Dayoff and Rick Bonus speaking today as well?
Yeah.
Anything on?
I mean, nothing like last year.
Yeah.
On the
on Rick Bonus coming back or not?
Not that I heard. No.
They might be looking for a new head coach.
Is he, they'd fire him?
No, absolutely not.
He would just step away. Yeah,
he would step away. He had a long year. Family. Personal reasons with a family. You know, you get to that age, you're like, it's a big commitment.
Yeah. Oh, God, to be traveling. Right? And even when you're home, just focusing on video. And it's a lot
Someone mentioned to me maybe that is undecided yet. We'll have to wait and see. But they could be one of many teams looking for a new head coach.
There's a lot of openings, isn't there?
What's going on with Brendan Moore?
Yeah. What is going
That's
on
what I want to know.
Brendan Moore, I think, has a deal pretty much in place, but there still might be some money involved here. I hear it's nickels and dimes, guys.
Yeah. Okay.
Like, I'm talking about...
Let's push this baby over the line.
I'm talking about 25, 50 grand.
Oh, no.
Okay. Like, all
it's
in.
Not,
let's go here.
It's not a ton of money here. Carolina, going up against the New York Rangers, need this... this topic, a conversation, this distraction, like they need a hole in the head.
Right.
I think it's bad for Carolina.
I, you know what? I can't. I think the thing we're all saying is it feels like Tom Dundon is trying to take advantage of Rod Brind'Amour. They know that Brind'Amour wants to be in Carolina. He has a kid that plays hockey. He coaches his kids' team there. He is a committed Carolina Hurricane.
Does not want to go anywhere
doesn't
else.
Want to coach for another team, wants to coach the Canes. So immediately.
And he knows it.
So Dundon has leverage there. But if he is a free agent on the open market in the NHL, he probably gets $6 million a year somewhere, maybe seven.
Babs money.
Yes.
You know.
But he doesn't
especially
want it.
Here.
Right. Doesn't want it. That's fine.
He could have had it before they, in New York.
Fine. But the point is for then Dundon, you say, I'm worth this. I want to stay here. I'll give you a discount. Let's do it for five. Or whatever, and it feels like Dunnan's being like, I got you where I want you. I'll give you less than that. And that, to me, is not a healthy foundation. All the ways you spend money, you want to take care of your own. I don't like that we're even having this conversation. If it's about 50 grand, it's mind-blowing to me. Would blow my mind.
Do you think anyone in New York will ask him about it in the first round? In the second round? I don't know. I don't think anybody would ask him about that.
They need to put this to bed.
Absolutely.
ASAP.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Cooper came out, spoke about maybe a change one day, but not anytime soon. Still feels like they can win, but probably would like a new contract if he's going into his last year here.
Mm-hmm.
Or does he cut ties?
Do you have
I'm speculating.
I think he'll stay. I think he'll stay. I think they would extend him. I think he's a great coach. Those are tough to come by.
One thing that would entice him, though, and that
Toronto.
Is...
Toronto?
Ottawa?
Toronto?
I think, no, regardless of what team, if there's an opportunity for him to become a president of hockey operations.
Whoa!
As well as or only? No.
The Pat Quinn?
Just to move up.
Oh.
Just to move up. Would he be, or is he too much of a coach to want that?
No, he's a lawyer. He's won cups as a coach. He would happily do that. That makes sense to me.
Yeah.
What are you suggesting?
Oh, God, I just did the math in my head, too.
I'll tell you who. Salt Lake City.
Oh.
Well, yeah, there's a big game tonight, Kip.
Kippy.
Just saying.
Why did you bring this up at 5:53?
I don't know.
It's the juiciest thing you said all day.
Salt Lake City.
Wow.
So right now they just have Francis as GM.
Armstrong. Bill Armstrong.
Bill Armstrong as GM and no president.
And this is like, this guy's taking it to the next level from what I hear, Ryan Smith. And they might know each other.
Oh.
Okay.
Or they might not. I don't know.
What do you want to be? If things go to hell tonight, what do you want to be in Toronto? John?
Johnny?
Coop. I'm not even going there.
All right.
Listen.
We've got plenty of time to discuss after we find out what happens in this series.
Go Toronto Maple Leafs, go.
Hey, stop that. It's a national show.
Oh, yeah, sorry, guys. I like the Leafs. Impartial. I don't know if you figured that out yet.
One game on tap. Sportsnet, Hockey Night in Canada. Toronto Maple Leafs, Boston Bruins, Game 6. Enjoy it. And we're back tomorrow on Off the Rails Friday. I don't know either.
No idea.
Have a great night, everybody. And if you get a chance, give us a rating and review. We'd love to hear from you.